We're in Tivot Shalom in Parshat Chukat on page Kuf Yud Dalid. We are on the piece Eitz Erez Ve'ezov, talking about the components that go into creating the purifying reality of the Parah Aduma. The pasuk says, quoted at the beginning by the Nesivos Shalom, V'lakach al kohen Eitz Erez Ve'ezov Ushni Tolaat V'ishlich El Toch Sreifat HaPara. Right, so this, again, the opening of the Parsha talks about Zot Chukat HaTorah, the famous Chok of the Torah, however one understands the nature of that Chok and what it's about, of the realities of Parah Aduma. But Parah Aduma is the reality of purifying, of bringing about a purification from Tum'at Meit. That when a person becomes Tame, from the Avi Avota Tuma, when a person becomes impure, which is a imperfect English translation, but a person becomes Tame, from the Avi Avota Tuma, from the greatest Tuma that there is, Tum'at Meit, the only way for that person to achieve purification is through the process of the Parah Aduma, of taking this Parah Aduma, this red heifer, burning it, taking its ashes, mixing it up, and sprinkling it on the person who was impure, who was Tameh, and part of the process of that person becoming Tahor. So as part of that, the Pasuk says that the Kohen takes Eitz Erez Ve'ezov Ushni Tolat V'Shlich Oto El Toch Sreifat HaPara. More specific and precise translation of that is, I don't want to translate anything incorrectly. He says, the Kohen shall take cedar wood, hyssop, and crimson thread, and he shall throw them into the burning of the cow. Right? So we're going to focus on those small details within the context of the purification of Parah Aduma. What do they mean? How do we understand them? V'amru Chazal, back in the Nesivos Shalom, second line, V'amru Chazal, im nitga'e ke'erez, yashpil atzmo ke'ezov. That if a person became ga'eh, became egotistical, if they became haughty, like an erez, if they became haughty, like cedar, like a tall cedar tree, yashpil oto ke'ezov, and that person should lower themselves down, like kissa, they should lower themselves down like a reed. V'ikshu ha'mefarshim, the mefarshim ask, Eich erez hamore al geuchi davar hashlili mehaveh chelek mitarata para kemo ha'ezov. So the Mefarshim ask, okay, that's very nice, that part of the idea here is in the context of this purification from Tumat Meit, that if you become haughty and you become strong and haughty like a cedar tree, so you have to lower yourself down like a reed, okay, I understand that, fine, but then why would you put the erez, why would you put the cedar tree into the purification process? Meaning, if the idea is that you're purifying from it, why would you include it? How do we understand the inclusion of the cedar tree, which seems to be a negative in terms of ga'ava, in terms of ego, the worst midah that there is? How do we understand that as being part of the purification process if the midrash is claiming that what we're dafka purifying from? So he says in the next paragraph, V'yesh la'avin k'mo shekatuv b'sfar makadoshim tolso tol Yaakov Yosef. It says in the Sefer Tol Yaakov Yosef, al ma shenichtav b'tchilat ha'parasha, that which says in the beginning of the parsha, v'yidaber Hashem al Moshe v'al Aaron le'mor zot chukat ha'torah. The parsha opens up with the words, Hashem said to Moshe and to Aaron as follows, this is the chok of the Torah. Moshe hu midat anava v'shiflut. That Moshe's whole reality, he's the midah, he's the embodiment of anava, of humility, of shiflut, of lowliness. That's his whole being. From the very beginning of when we meet him, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes to him and says, I want you to be the leader of the Jewish people, and he fights back against HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a whole chapter, a whole parak in the beginning of Sefer Shemot. To the point where we're told of Moshe Rabbeinu, Shuanav Me'od Mikol Adam Ashel Pnei Adama, that the essence of Moshe Rabbeinu is all about anava, he's all about humility. Kedichtiv, like we just said, Va'ish Moshe Anav Me'od Mikol Adam Ashel Pnei Adama, that Moshe was more humble than any other person who ever lived. Va'amru Chazal Kemo Dichtiv, Muchi Shchin V'Nafsho Shel Moshe Numuchi Mikulam, that the whole reality of Moshe Rabbeinu on every aspect of his being, he was lower than anybody else. He was always lowering himself down. There was not a little bit of gava. There was no ego within him. He knew who he was, but there was no false sense of who he was beyond that. He was always recognizing his true stature and reality, seeing himself in comparison to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, recognizing himself in terms of the capacities that he has, that it all comes Me'is Hashem, never having even the smallest amount of Gavah inside of himself. He was the embodiment of anava, the embodiment of humility. V'aharon, on the flip side, Aaron, who midat geut dekedusha. Aaron is about gaiva, but not the gaiva that we normally think of. Not the gaiva in terms of ego. He was a reality of geut dekedusha. The holiness that exists within the reality of geut. What does that mean? Kidichtiv. That it says when Kadosh Baruch Hu commands Moshe Rabbeinu that when he goes to create everything that's necessary for the Mishkan, he creates for the Mishkan also the Big Day Kahuna, the begotten, the special garments for the Kohanim, the four special garments that were required to be worn by the Kohen, and if the Kohen didn't wear them, the Avoda was no good. And beyond that, the Kohen Gadol had to wear eight garments, these eight unique, specially created garments that totally elevated him above everybody else. Vasita big dekodesh la'aron achicha lechavod le'tifaret. To which the Moshe Rabbeinu is being commanded to create for Aaron, davka for Aaron, the first Kohen Gadol, your brother, these tremendous, these big dekodesh, these clothing of Kedusha, for Aaron, your brother, for glory, for splendor, shu'inyan gadlut v'geut, meaning he's being risen up. He's being given a reality of gaiva, meaning given a reality of the fact that he's being lifted up, raised up, but it's only in the context of Kedusha. I forget, I wish I remember the name, I don't remember which one of the recent Sephardi Gedolim I heard this story about, but the Sephardim are much more into this in terms of the Sephardi Gedolim, the dress and the garb and the garment they have. I forget who it was, one of the recent Sephardi Gedolim, that he wore, if I remember the story correctly, he wore shoes that were gold. They were golden shoes. And you think to yourself, like, that's not like what a gadol is supposed to be about. They're not all about this externality. They're not all about how fancy the clothes are and how expensive the clothes are. So I was told that in the story that he wore golden shoes because he was the gadol ador. So in terms of the kvoda Torah and the geut kedusha, he had to wear them. But he required that when they were made, the soles were removed from the shoes, that he wouldn't get any benefit from it. Meaning that's an understanding of Ge'ut Kedusha. That's an understanding of Aharon wearing, so to speak, of Aharon wearing the Bigdei Kehuna L'Chavod L'Tifaret. Meaning, yes, there was he was being risen up. Yes, he was being put on a pedestal. Yes, he was a reality of Ge'ut, but it was only a Ge'ut of Kedusha. There wasn't anything of him in it. He was willing. He had to. He understood the mitzvah that he needed to walk around with the me'il, with the ephod, with the choshen, with the tzitz. He was walking around with this. He looked on a totally different plane than everybody else. But there was no gaiva in there. He didn't put anything of himself in there. Why was he doing that? Because he was the Kohen Gadol. Because he was the embodiment of the Kihuna. Because he was the Kadosh Baruch Hu's instrument in this world to make sure the Mishkan was functioning the way that it had to function. He was the one who had to walk into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and you walk in your best clothes to the Kodesh HaKadoshim and you meet a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But there was no him in it. It takes an Aaron to do that. To be able to understand that, I have to wear this clothing. Yes, I have to be put on a pedestal. But I'm being put on a pedestal in that way only because it's for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Only because I'm focused on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a true Ge'ut Dikdusha that's so hard to attain. That's so challenging to attain. V'rak al yidei bet hamidut, back inside. We're five lines from the bottom. V'rak al yidei, welcome Elisa, great to see you. You can turn on your screen if you want. Barak al yidei bet hamidot shel Moshe ve'Aaron yichidav yesh ba zeshlimut. Only when we have these two aspects together, these two aspects of Moshe and Aaron together, of the anava, the complete and total humility, the nullification of self, along with the geut kedusha, only in that instance do we truly have shlimut. When you only have one of them and you're lacking the other, then there's something missing there. If a person's only involved in anava and shiflus, as amazing as they are and as tremendous as they are, again, that's living, that's walking in the footsteps of Moshe Rabbeinu. But if a person only has anava and shiflus alone, hayitzahara mashpilo sheino ra'oi li kadesh veino ra'oi la'agbia b'darchei Hashem, then the Yitzhahara can come and attack us. He can come and attack us and say Who am I to be kadosh? Who am I to try to sanctify myself? Who am I to walk in the ways of a kadosh baruch hu? If I really internalize that anava, I know that I'm nothing. But if I'm nothing, how am I really going to learn a piece in the Siddur Shalom? How am I really going to understand what the Slonimer is saying? How am I really going to open up a Gemara and understand what the Gemara is talking about? How am I going to open up a Sefer and really get into a Sefer? I'm going to dive into a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's going to listen to me. I'm going to have the chutzpah to talk to him. I'm nothing. I'm no one. I'm less than a small speck of dust in comparison to the infinite nature of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Who am I to do these things? Who am I to strive for Kedusha? Who am I to strive for mitzvos? Who am I to strive, like all of you are striving, who am I to strive years after JLIC, sitting there in your house, still trudging forward, still learning Sivo Shalom together? Who am I, Shana Aleph was already a year ago, right? Who am I already now at the end of what would have been my Shana Bet, sitting there, still trudging along, again, back here for another round of Sivo Shalom, after Shana Bet of this year, after Shana Aleph of this year? Each one of you in your own place, and all of us wherever we are. You can easily say to yourself, it's been so long. I'm not learning the way I learned back then. I'm not learning like I learned back in the yeshiva and seminary days. I'm not learning like I learned back in the OUJLIC days. I'm going to sign in for one shiur? All of you, I'm sure, have been learning way more than I have in between. Fine, so you're just using these examples, and they're not real examples. I'm sure you've been learning way more than I have in between, but fine. As an example, right, let's say you say to yourself, after that little that I've learned, I'm going to get on what? I'm going to get into another piece of Sivo Shalom? I'm going to do another mincha, I'm going to daven a mincha, I'm going to daven a shakar, for days of not davening, lo aleinu. Who am I? Say, I've even been davening every day, shakar and mincha, every day. And I realized for myself for the first time, I'm going to talk to a Kadosh Baruch Hu? He wants to hear from me? When I just have anava, because it's true, everything we said is true. It's true, I have no right to walk towards a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and I didn't understand my lowliness. And it's right, I have no right to think that I understand what the Slonimer is saying to me. All of that's true. That's a reality of anava. But that's why it needs to be balanced out with that geuta to kedusha. Of saying, yeah, it's true, but God said to daven and I'm going and davening. It's true, I understand that I'm nothing. I've internalized that I'm nothing. But despite that, I'm not going to let that get me down, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to daven, I'm going to daven. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to learn, I'm going to learn. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to be in this beautiful opportunity of dibuk haverim, right? Of these all different years of people who happen to connect over Nesivos Shalom, I'm going to jump in and learn, and it doesn't matter. Can I touch the reality of what the Slonimer had to say? No, but it doesn't matter. I'm going to learn it anyway. If I have that anava alone, it can sometimes crush me. It can draw me down. It can bring me into a depression. It can bring me to pull me away from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, lo aleinu. If I have that alone, the Yitzhara can attack me and utilize that anava in an improper way to draw me away from Kedusha itself. It can draw me down in a way that I can pull me away from Avodas Hashem. If I only connect to the gate of Kedusha on the opposite side, if I only connect to the gaiva of Kedusha, top of the next column, then you could already think, oh, I've risen myself up to the point, I'm the greatest of the great. I can flip it around. Right? I know we see a couple of you here, I just saw last week in Eretz Yisrael, you think to yourself, I know it's been a week since Shana Aleph. I know how much my friends have been learning. I made it onto a Nesivo Shalom Zoom. I'm the best of the best post Shana Aleph. I don't even deserve to be in WhatsApp groups with these people anymore. I'm getting out of my Tver WhatsApp groups. I don't want to be these lowly people. They're going to drag me down. It's just Chas V'Shalom? No. Right? They get the person get into that space. You go into a davening, right? You go back to Chutz L'Aretz, you get into a davening. I don't know how much minyanim there were Shana Aleph this year, or certainly in seminaries, how many minyans you davened in. I know there's a lot of davening with the girls who are in Yechidus. I don't know how much you got to go to minyanim since there was a 10-person maximum usually in general. So you didn't get that experience, but I don't know how much 2 years ago you guys davened in minyanim, but let's pretend. But you come back and you go and you walk into a minyan after Shana Aleph, after Shana Bet, a year later, 2 years later, whatever it is, you go back and daven in a minyan and you're shuckling away and you're davening like crazy. Your mom is shuckling like a lulav. Like you're just giving your all and you're like, you're going at it in Shmon Esrei. And then you go and you realize you're like 3, 4, or 5 brachas in and they start Chazar HaSashash and you're like, oh, I'm above this minyan. Are you kidding me? I'm sweating through my mascara. I'm sweating. I've got to take a shower after this. I'm sweating down the side of my shirt. Right? And these people, they're in Chazaras Hashas, and I'm still going. I'm beyond this minion. That Geyut of Kedusha, that Geyut, that's supposed to be a Geyut of Kedusha, of saying, I'm going to daven as much as I need to daven because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to. And why would I ever want to leave HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why would I ever want to leave HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I forget where I heard this story from. It might have been from Rabbi Akiva Tatz in one of the Shirim, that he said that one time, he was quoting a story from somebody else. Said that she was davening, and she said to her daughter, I need to daven Shmon Esrei. So she went, she davened Shmon Esrei, and she goes, she sees the back there, she says, forward, she davened, she finishes, and her daughter says, what happened? And she says, what do you mean? And her daughter says, why did you stop? And she said, well, I finished davening. And she said, her daughter said to her, but why would you ever want to step away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu if you're talking to him? Like, think about that. You know, like, that's like, you know, just to take that in for a second. Right? But I'm saying that ge'ut of saying, you know, like, yeah, I can step forward and talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as long as I want. I can learn Torah as much as I want. I'm sitting here and I am learning. I am involved. I'm keeping strong after Shana Aleph. I'm keeping strong after Shana Bet. I'm keeping strong after a year of college. I'm keeping strong 6, 8, I don't know how long, 10 years after seven, after college. I'm keeping strong. But to let that ge'ut say, no, therefore I can still move forward, but I'm no better than anybody else. I constantly need that balance of the anava to understand my place and to never let me get haughty, even when I'm doing Torah and mitzvot. But the gaiva of kedusha only, because gaiva is very dangerous, but the gaiva of kedusha to say, even though I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, I'm fulfilling my tafkid. I'm no better than anybody else. I have no right to even compare myself to anybody else. I have no right to think anything better of myself. To constantly have that balance. Right? It's a balance that, Bezrat Hashem, all of you one day will stand in front of a room and you will give over Torah in some way, shape, or form. Whether it's at your family Shabbos table, when you're running a Shabbos table on campus, whether you're building your own bias neman and you're going to have guests and you're going to be inspiring guests at your table, whether you're going to be giving a drasha in your campus minion, Bezrat Hashem, you'll all be on a campus when you go to campus, and you'll be giving a drasha at your Shabbos minion or a Dvar Torah there, or you'll be giving speeches in your shul, you'll be running women's Rosh Chodesh events in your shul, whatever the case may be. I'm telling you, when that moment comes and you step up to that podium, the first time you feel like you just want to throw up because you're totally nervous and nauseous. So fine, we get to the second time you get up there, when you already know what it's like to get up there at time, and you're like, this is my room, this is my shir, I get to stand in front of the room. Right, when you stand there, and every one of you has had the opportunity, who's in this forum, to see me stand up and get up in front of a room, whether it was in the Hillel, or whether it was on campus, or whether it was in Shana Aleph or Shana Bet, or whether it was on a Zoom, whatever the case may be. And I always remind myself, when I say it, I don't say it as a joke. I mean it very seriously. And it's one of the reasons, plural, why I don't prepare the pieces beforehand. I'm not teaching you all. We're learning the Slonim b'chavrusa. You guys are just a chavrusa. We're having a chavrusa together. And the Slonim is talking to all of us. So he's doing it through me. Beseder, fine. So that was my chelik that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me. But we're all in the same place. I don't know any of this stuff. I'm so excited to learn it. He's telling us. But no matter what position you're in, that's the point. No matter what position you're in, to constantly reassert for yourself. That balance of anava. If I said I'm nothing, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have organized this gathering together online. We wouldn't be learning together. But if I thought I was everything because, I'm teaching the Slonim. I'm not teaching the Slonim. I'm reading his words, and hopefully we're understanding it a little bit together. We're having a chavrusa. To always have that balance. Because without it, there is no learning together. But if there's gaiva in the room, Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves the room. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not here, we're not learning bichlal. Right? Famously, the Gemara says that a person who has gaiva, he says, me and you, we can't live in the same house together. So it's fine. I'll leave. You take the house. I've got no interest being in the same place as you. He's disgusted by gaiva. Kadosh Baruch Hu has no interest. Because again, think about what gaiva is. Gaiva is saying that I'm something. That I'm significant. That I'm better than... You're better than what? Kadosh Baruch Hu created you. You're a nothing. You came from the dirt. You're going to go back to the dirt. Gaiva literally is going against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. You're claiming that you have as much bilis as a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Chas v'Shalom. There's no room for gaiva in a Jew's life, unless it's gaiva to Kedusha. Unless I'm only wearing the big day kahuna because I have to go mesharit. If I'm only organizing the Zoom just so we can have a chavruta, then you can have that gaivet kedusha. But it's always got to be balanced out by the anava. Always needs to be balanced out by the anava and needs to overwhelm it. I'm sure, I suspect he'll say it, but that's to overwhelm the gaivet kedusha. Because gaivet is so dangerous. So dangerous. But anava is also dangerous also. Has to be balanced out. Second line in the second column. Ela tzarich le'echos bet amidot yachad. We have to bring these two together. El Moshe v'el Aaron, Moshe and Aaron together, very beautiful also. Again, these two brothers, each one bringing out, you know, brothers are often, siblings are always, are often in conflict with each other. And it's so beautiful that Moshe and Aaron here are bringing out these two complementary midot to create this holistic avodas Hashem. Midat ha-shiflut to midat geyut kedusha v'atiferet. The midah of shiflus, of lowliness, and the midah of geyut kedusha v'atiferet. And this midah of gaiva, but gaiva to kedusha, v'tatiferet in glory. Ki yudim mitzad ha-chomer shelo, hariu be'emet shafal. Ach mitzad nishmato shi'chelek aloka mimal hariu gadol me'od. Because a Jew, in terms of my physicality, I'm nothing. I'm mamish nothing. Again, I came from the dust, I'm going back to the dust. I'm mamish nothing in terms of my physicality. But in terms of the neshama that I have inside, I'm a part of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm a chelek aloka mimal. And I'm tremendous. V'kashir olcheis bevet midot elu ka'achad harezes shlimut avodat Hashem. When I bring these two together, when I unite these two, then there's a perfection in avodas Hashem. Then there's true balance in my avodas Hashem, where I can with confidence go forward and do what I need to do, but never in a way that leads to gaiva. It gives me the self-confidence and self-awareness to know that I need to do what I need to do. I need to take those three steps forward and daven. I need to open up that sefer and learn. I need to get together with my friends and learn. But never in a way that leads to gaiva. Never, ever in a way leads to gaiva. I remember why I was reminded of this story, but I was reminded of this story recently, back to my own Shana Aleph. I remember it was like a month into my Shana Aleph. And I was in Nativ, so it's like literally on the Kotel. It's like literally built into like the wall that's attached to the Kotel. And I remember that a few weeks in, it dawned on me like, I wasn't really learning yet. Like, I'm sitting around. We didn't have all of the things that you all had in Shana Aleph. I was sitting there playing Snake all day on my old Nokia phone. Reading the physical hard copy comic books that I brought along with me, maybe a couple of DVDs, schmoozing with friends, whatever it was. And I said to myself, like, I started to get very uncomfortable. I was like, how do I just sit here next to the Kotel and Har HaBayit and the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Like, what am I doing here? Like, how do I live next to Har HaBayit? And it was like really weighing on me. And I sat down in front of Rav Bina's office to go and talk to him. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu, thank God, intervened. And one of the Shana Bet guys, who was like one of the only Shana Bet, I was the only Shana Aleph guy. No, that's not true. Right? There was a bunch, but there, I was one of the only Shana Aleph guys from Ramaz, and he was one of the only Shana Bet guys from Ramaz. So that was the kesher that we had. And he came and said, "What are you doing sitting outside of Rabina's office?" Like, no, I was a good kid. Like, what could you possibly have done at this point? Like, it's too early in the year. Like, what's wrong? So I said, I want to talk to Rabina. I don't feel comfortable like with certain things. Like, tell me what's going on. So I talked to him. Baruch Hashem, he was a Ramaz graduate, so he had the gaiva that Ramaz gives you. It's one of the gifts that you get. And he looked at me. He's like, shut up! Like, what's wrong with you? He's like, just sit down and learn. Don't worry about it. You're saying all this kedusha issues. Just sit down and start learning. It's the beginning of Shana Aleph, you know. And he really put me in my place in that way. You have to have that balance. Being like, I started to get all anxious and uptight because I was seriously. So can you imagine if every time you went to the Kotel, to daven by Har HaBayit and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, imagine you sat by the sitter and never opened up the sitter because you were too intimidated to daven by the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Think of all the tefillahs that would be lost. Again, lehefech. And then lehefek, the balance out. If a person went and davened by the Kodesh HaKadoshim, they were like, after that Shmona Esrei, Geula's coming. I mean, like, nothing could beat that Shmona Esrei. Think of all the davenings you would lose if you stopped davening after that. And it's always about that balance. And it comes up in all areas of life. All areas of life. I'll give one last example, especially since we have some people who are literally just, you got Rachmanis on them. There are some people here who are literally fresh off the boat. So they just got back from Shana Aleph. There are going to be those moments, you know, on both sides, again, where you feel like you just came back and you feel fired up, to always remember that everything that you do and that you're successful in, to always keep that tempered and recognize you've always got a long way to go. And on the flip side, there are going to be moments, and we talked about this a lot before you left Shana Aleph, There are going to be moments where your friends, where your peers are going to drag you along and say, oh, come on, you just got back, you're fine. Come, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, going to do things that you know you don't want to be doing anymore. And you say to yourself, who am I to say no? What did I really accomplish in 1 year in Israel? Am I really so kadosh that I'm going to say no to doing X, Y, and Z? Am I really not hanging out with that group of friends anymore? Am I really not hanging out in that, whatever the scenario be, in the bowling alley, in the bar, in the, I don't care what scenario it is. In that basement on Motzei Shabbos, whatever the case may be, in my personal situation, am I really, who am I to say that? Did I really accomplish so much Mashan Aleph that I'm able to say that? The answer is, yeah. Gotta have a little gaiva to Kedusha. You did accomplish that much. You only accomplished that much, but you did accomplish that much. And that's that balance that we always need to walk along with. Let's go forward in the piece. Questions, thoughts, comments before we go forward? I've heard it's been a while since we learned together, but please, you know, throw up one of those funny emoji hands, or put a comment in the box on the bottom, or whatever it is, if you have anything to say, always love to hear it. But if not, we'll keep going forward. So let's go on to the next paragraph. Uvyeter b'yor yishlamar. Next paragraph. He continues on and says, Devet midot elu yicholim liyot ba'ofen shlili. Both of these midos, as we've been talking about extensively, can obviously also be negative. They can be negative and they can also be positive. You can also have gaiva of kedusha. You can also have shiflus of kedusha. Sheish geut mitoch hitnasut v'gaava shezegarua mikol v'yish geut hanovat miramut kedusha. We already talked about this a lot in our discussion before at length. We just discussed it at length. So I'm going to move a little bit faster. But he's saying in his own words what we just talked about in terms of the balance that needs to be struck there. That there's geut that comes from raising yourself up in real gaiva. That's the worst thing that there is. It's disgusting. And there's a gaiva that comes from, again, kedusha, like we talked about. When a person only is focused on shiflus, only focused on how lowly they are, it's very, very dangerous. When, as the astronomer says, Al ha-ne'emar b'nisayon shel Yosef, shayan nisayon ha-kasha b'yoter, he talks about it in the context of Yosef HaTzadik, who had the biggest test that there was. He's going back. All of Mitzrayim, according to Chazal, all of Mitzrayim is out of the house today. They're all celebrating. Everybody's by the Nile. Nobody's in the house. Nobody's in the whole area. And he walks into that house. He's a slave. He has no chance of getting married. He has no chance of physical contact. He has no chance of going home at this point. If you look Alpiteva, there's no hope for Alpiteva, which is the whole reality of Yosef. He knows there's always hope, and he gets to be Mishnah Lamelech and be united with his family. But Alpiteva, he's stuck in Potiphar's house. He's the head slave, Mazel Tov. He's the head slave. There's no future for him there. There's not going anywhere. And he comes back, and this beautiful woman, who's desperate to have a physical relationship with him, makes sure to Dafka attack, and that's the moment she jumps. That's the moment when there's nobody around. Nobody would ever know. Nobody would ever know. And she grabs onto him in her tremendous pritzut, the pritzut of Mitzrayim. And she grabs onto his garment, the pasuk says, according to the pasuk now, grabs onto his garment and says, Shichvayimi, lay with me. Bivigdo, so what is it? What does he say? What is the number saying? She grabbed onto his garment. Bigdo. Not just that she grabbed onto his garment. Milashon bigida. The bigida meaning to go against. To go against something. Shetitpesao to bevigduto. Lemor halok var benkach. Bagarata vechatata arbei velamalota sega mevirazo. It's incredible what she says, and think about how many times we hear this in our minds. She grabbed onto his bigdo. Meaning, she grabbed onto his internal feelings of lowliness in a negative way, in a self-destructive way. The feelings that he had inside saying, after all of the sins that you've committed, is this really going to make the difference? If you have a relationship with me now, that's what's going to make the difference after all of the sins that you've done in your lifetime, after all the Avodas Hashem that you've missed. Right? Parentheses. After HaKadosh Baruch Hu threw you out of your father's house, sent you down to Mitzrayim, made you a slave. What? You're so big, you're going to say no now? What's one more sin in the bucket of sins when you get to Gehenna for you? You're going to miss out on this, you're going to miss out on me. For what? You're already going to Gehenna. You're nothing anyway. That's a very dangerous shiflus. That's a shiflus of depression. That's a self-destructive shiflus that so many of us can get caught up in, where we say, after everything that I've done, is this really going to make the difference? Like we talked about before, somebody comes back in Shana Aleph, their friends say, let's go do X, Y, and Z, and you say to yourself, did I really accomplish anything in Shana Aleph that I'm going to say no? I'm the big tzaddik, I'm the big tzaddikus, it's going to say no? Am I really in that place? After everything that I've done, I'm going to go, like we talked about also in other contexts, after everything I've done, I'm going to die. After what I just did, I'm going to go and daven a mincha, I'm going to go and daven a shabbos, I'm going to go and learn a sefer. After the averas that I did, that's what she was linking into on a deeper level, says the Slonimer. That's where she, that's a gut punch for Yosef. Because Yosef's an anav. And she was drawing on, she was capitalizing on, she was preying on that anava to transform it from an anava of Kedusha into a self-destructive, into a depressed anava of just dragging him down. This is one of the greatest pulls of the Yitzhahara. Shematziv bifnei adam, top of the next page, that she makes a, that the Yitzhahara makes a person think and feel. At kol begidutav mifateuto sharei ben kach nafalta v'nishalta arbe ukvar inchara oy lechlum. After that, the Yitzhahara says to you, after all you've done, you have no hope. We talked about this before you left in each of your Shana Alephs, and we talked about this in the ones who are on campus also. Right? That beautiful line from the Slonimer where he says, right, it was just a few weeks ago we talked about this. We gave that whole shmooze. That it says in the last paragraph of Maariv, the Haser Satan milfaneinu miacharenu, that we should remove the Satan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please remove the Satan from before me and from behind me. So the Slonimer asks on that. What does it mean? Remove the Satan from before me, I understand. That's the Satan that's trying to mess me up. He's the Satan that's trying to knock me down. But the Satan that's behind me is in the dust. What do I care about him? And the answer is no, says the Slonimer. That's the most dangerous Satan there is. Because that's the Satan that when the Satan in front of you finally gets in a good shot and knocks you flat on your back. That's the Satan that when that Satan in front of you knocks you down, it's that Satan that slowly, lumberingly goes and puts his foot on you and keeps you down in the dirt and says, after that sin, you can't get back up. That's the voice in our heads that says, after I did what I did, how could I go forward in Avodas Hashem? And the answer is, yes, you get up and you go and you keep serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because those are the words of the Satan himself. And yeah, do you have to do tshuva? Of course you have to do tshuva. Did you do something wrong? Did something wrong? HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows we're going to do things wrong. That's why he created tshuva. That's why he created tshuva before he even created the world. Chazal tell us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created tshuva before he created the world. Because he knew that that's a reality of the world. Is that we're going to make mistakes and we're going to do tshuva. That even at tzaddik, the pasuk says, Sheva yipol tzaddik v'kam. Even at tzaddik falls seven times. And those who say, what makes the tzaddik a tzaddik? Think about this. Hear this, internalize it. What makes the tzaddik a tzaddik is dafka that he fell seven times. And he got up each time and kept going forward and still forged himself into a tzaddik. He never let that satan hold him down. He never let that voice in his head tell him, you're not worth it. After what you did, what's the point of continuing forward? The answer is yes, you keep going, you keep going, you keep going. If you ever hear that voice in your head tell you, you're not worth it, don't, after what you did, don't bother. Don't bother davening. Don't bother learning. Don't bother doing like an act of chesed. Don't bother saying tehillim. If you ever hear that voice in your head, that's the satan talking to you. That's the satan taking that anava of kedusha and dragging it into tumah. Using that beautiful anava that you have and using it for its own ends. Distorting it and using it for its own ends. Third line in the page. V'tshuvat Yosef haita. So what is Yosef saying? Enenu gadol b'vayit hazeh mimeni. V'eich ha'eseh ra'a gdola hazot v'chatati le'lokim. On a pshat level, what is he saying? He says back to her in the psukim, there's no one greater in this house than me. And how can I do such a tremendous evil and sin to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What does that mean? Hainu kima'amar maran aslanam asav ha'gadosh mislanam. As the Slonimer says on a pasuk, Musar Hashem b'ni altimas. The pasuk says, the Musar of Hashem, my child, don't turn away from the Musar of Hashem. So the Slonim understands it differently. Beautiful. Hear this. It's so incredible. It's so beautiful the way he understands this pasuk. Musar Hashem. Hamusar Shehakadosh Baruch Hu Omer LiYehudi Hu. Meaning, he reads it differently. What's the Musar of Hashem? What's the greatest Musar of Hashem that there is? What Musar is he giving us always? That Musar is? Bini. The biggest Musar in life that a Kadosh Baruch can give us is? Bini. You're my child. You're my son. You're my daughter. You're a ben melech. You're a prince. You're a bat melech. You're a princess. That's the biggest musar that there is. Musar Hashem. What's the musar of Hashem? Is bini. You're my child. Halo biniata, ben melech. You're my child. You're the son. You're the daughter of the king. Altimas. Altimas atz mecha bedvarim she'ina lomdim et ma'amadecha. Don't make yourself disgusting by doing things lower than the stature of the king, of the prince, of the ben melech, of the bat melech. Can you imagine if we all walked around the world like that? Can you imagine if we walked down the street and we looked into a store window and thought, do I want to buy that? And we thought, no, why would I want to buy that? Whether it's something which is going to distract me from my avodas Hashem, whether it's something which is purely for physical purposes, whether it's something that I'm going to wear that's not befitting of a better bat melech, because I realize I'm the son of the king. How could I buy that? I'm the son of the king. How could I say that? I'm the son of the king. How could I do that? Think of it, how it would reflect on my father, the king, on his kingdom, on his malchus. How could I disparage the kingdom and my king in such a way? And that's by all of us. That's mamish by all of us. That's how we need to think. That's how we need to guide our lives. That's the Musar of Hashem. Bini, you're my child, and therefore al timas. How could you make yourself disgusting in that way? That's unbefitting of being a child of the king. How could you lower yourself in that way? Think of how different our lives would be if we always remembered, we always lived. We walked, we talked, we ate, we dressed, we lived like we're the sons and the daughters of the king. Musar Hashem bini altimas. If we lived like that. Valtim koretz bechoratcha benazir arashim. Tov. Zehu musar Hashem shakadosh baruch hu omer liyudi. This is the musar of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he tells to a Jew. Lo she'im yacheta yavo alav onshim v'yisurim. That's not the Musar that he's giving us. He's not giving us the Musar. You're going to go to Gehenna and you're going to get this onesh and this punishment and this horrible thing's going to happen to you. That's low level. That's entry level. That's kid stuff. That's the stuff that's been banged over our heads in day school. Has been banged over our heads since we were little in order to... You know, if you're still here, you know who I'm talking about. That you were taught your entire life in high school. That was teaching you that you're going to go to Gehenna if you don't do the mitzvahs properly. And that's the whole avodah Hashem that you're taught in high school. And I'm sure by a lot of other us as well. But the one on the Zoom who knows who I'm talking to knows who I'm talking to. Right? That's what we're taught the entire time. That's how we're taught to live. That's not the Musar of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a Musar with all due respect, which is not much. That's a Musar that creates problems, that creates dysfunction, that creates a hatred for Judaism that we see in the kids who are growing up in Jewish day schools that are coming into the Shana Aleph programs. You do this and you're going to go to Gehenna. Jews who walk around that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to strike us down with a lightning bolt and not recognizing the fact that we just basically talked about Avodah Zarah because Zeus isn't God. Like, just to recognize that's not how Judaism functions. Is there punishment? Yes. Is there Gehenna? Yes. But to recognize that we need to... What's the Musar of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's not Gehenna. It's be better because you're my child. Be better because you're royalty. That's a mind... That messes with your mind. That changes your perspective. That shifts your whole internal world. That doesn't shame you into submission. It doesn't beat you into submission. It demands of us, it challenges us, it requires of us, it inspires us to grab ourselves up by our bootstraps and act in the way that's befitting of a ben and bat melech, of the people who we truly are. Elokim amar katuv, Hashem amar elai, b'ni ata, ani You're my child. I gave birth to you today, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shezeu ha-musar ha-gadol bi-yoter ha-medaber ha-lev yudi. This is the biggest musar for a Jew that speaks to our hearts. Umoneha tol mikorah. This keeps us, this can save us from anything. From anything it can save us from. From whatever challenge that life brings us. Whether we're sitting around with our colleagues at work and they're saying, hey, listen, it's after work, we're bonding together. Let's go down and hang out in the bar downstairs. And you feel weird. How could I not go with them? What? Maybe I won't get the promotion. Maybe I won't be considered a valuable part of the team. Maybe I'll get fired. How do I not go to the bar with them? And the answer is, no, I'm a Ben Melech and I'm doing it at a bar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of me. He's a Melech. He has all the riches in the world. What am I worried about? I don't need to do that. When I'm hanging out with my friends, or I'm hanging out, whatever they may be, whatever stage, whether you're coming back and you're seeing your friends you haven't seen in a year, or whether you're already in the midst of college, and they say, oh, hey, we're going to this restaurant. And you look, and there's no hechsher in the restaurant. And you say, would a Ben or Bat Melech, would they eat in such a place? Would they eat food that's not kosher? When they say they're going to hang out in a way where you know that the environment, they're going out on a Saturday night, and there's going to be guys and girls and music and alcohol and drugs or whatever, however many of those things you want to add into the mix. Is that where a Ben or a Bat Melech belongs? Is that where a Ben or a Bat Melech belongs? To think about that, to internalize that, to really take that in. Is this where I should be? It can save us from doing anything. Because on the flip side, when I say to myself, yeah, but who am I? My specific answer is, yeah, you are. And even if you don't always live up to it, even if you make mistakes, even a son of the king who makes mistakes, and you look at it, let's for one second, right, rare occasion, turn to the secular world. Think of the sons and the daughters of royalty, of princes, of presidents, of whoever they may be. If you know that that person is a derelict, is a degenerate, is a nothing, it doesn't matter. Just because you know that and they've proven time and again that they're a piece of garbage, every time they go and debase themselves again, what happens? The media reports on it. Why? Because every time somebody, the child of somebody who's a king, who's a prince, who's a president, does something like that, it's newsworthy. Why? Because every time they do it, it reflects on the Malchus. Every time they do it, it reflects on the presidency. Every time they do it. And again, the secular world understands that. So let's take one thing we can learn from the secular world in that way. And say, yeah, that means even if I sinned once, or twice, or three times, or 100 times, it doesn't matter. Remember, if you're a Ben or a Bat Melech, every time you go and you do it again, that's news. That's news in the Iton Bashamayim. That's news in the newspaper up in Shamayim. Because you're still, because no matter how much you may have strayed from the path, you're still a Ben or a Bat Melech. And therefore, every time you do it, it's a Chiddush that you're doing it. Because you once again forgot that you're the Ben or the Bat Melech. It doesn't matter how many times you did it before. It doesn't matter if we expected it. It doesn't matter if we clicked on our daily news feed waiting to hear the new dumb thing that the person did. We know it's going to be there because that's their significance. Lehavdil. Lehavdil Elef Avdalos. By us, we're the son of the king. And you think about every single time, the secular world also understands this, every single time a Jew does one thing wrong, you're guaranteed there's going to be an article about it, and you're guaranteed that the non-Jews will make sure to remind you that it's a Jew that did it. So-and-so from prominent Jewish community and following synagogue did X, Y, and Z. Cheated on their taxes. Cheated on their spouse. Whatever the thing is. They're going to put in that it's a Jew because they know that we're a Ben Melech. We have to remember we're a Ben Melech. The biggest musa that there is. You can't go and do what you were about to do if you remind yourself. It doesn't matter how lowly I think of myself, even if I'm wrong. If I remember that I'm the son and the daughter of the king, I can't do it. I have too much rachmanas on my Abba, on Avinu Shabashamayim, that I can't do such a chilul Hashem as a Ben Bat Melech. I can't do it. It can save me from anything, he says. Shekasher margish shebiniata. When I feel that I'm his child, then I can turn and say, how could I do this thing? How could I sin to God? I can't do it. How can I go against Avinu Shabashamayim? And back to our parasha. That's what it means that the Kohen goes. Remember talking about paraduma back like an hour ago? Right? That's what it means, what it says by the paraduma. We take both the cedar wood and the hyssop, the cedar wood and the reeds. It's Erez Romez al Hagadlut shel Yudi. The cedar is reflecting on the greatness of the Jew. Bichinat Giyuti Kedusha, not Gaiva, but Gaiva to Kedusha. I'm a Ben Melech, I'm a Bat Melech. That I'm the child of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and how could I possibly do bad? And the Ezov is coming to teach us about the true lowliness, that reed, it's low, it bends, it's lowly, yes. That shiflus of emes, of recognizing that I really am nothing, not in a way that brings me down, not in a way that Chas V'Shalom takes me away from Avodas Hashem, but keeps me in check. To know that I'm nothing. That's why we also throw the cedar wood into the Srefata Para, into the burning of the Paraduma. To make the ash to sprinkle on the Tamei people. It's not hinting to, it's not talking about a negative gaiva, but the gaiva of Kedusha. And the Ezov is coming connected the shiflus of Kedusha. That in order to achieve true Tahara, we don't have the Paradum anymore. But if I want to achieve true Tahara, the Tahara, an aspect of the Tahara that the Paraduma used to be able to give us, the shiflus of Kedusha and the Gaiv of Kedusha together, that can be Metahar me in that way. That brings me to a Tahara and Avodas Hashem. What's the time? I can't even tell. See? Let's try to get in one more paragraph. Hold on 1 second. We have a few more minutes. Let's do the next paragraph. The Alzene Emar, Zot Chukata Torah, next paragraph. And that's what it says, Zot Chukata Torah. This is the Chok of the Torah. Sheze Chukat Kol HaTorah. This is the Chok of the entire Torah. How a Jew can come. This is the chok of the Torah. You want to understand what the chok of the Torah is? How do I get into the whole Torah itself? How do I come to Mekayim the entire Torah? By keeping these two midos together. That's how I'm able to keep the whole Torah itself. On the one hand, I have the cedar wood, this gaiv of Kedusha. That on the one hand, I'm the source of my neshama is part of a Kadosh Baruch Hu mamish, and therefore I'm holding on to the glory of the Kedusha itself, and I'm raising myself up because I know I'm mamish part of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. As Rav Baruch Mimezbesh says, he says, it's impossible to explain even to a Jew. Even to a Jew, it's impossible to explain what it means to be a Jew. We don't even understand. We don't even understand what we have. You can't even explain to a Jew what it means to be a Jew. Et hagadlut shel Yehudi, the greatness of what it means to be a Jew. Yehudi who eats eretz, a Jew is a cedar. Ben Melech, he's a son of the king, Malkol Shel Olam, of the king of all kings. V'yish lo koach bilti mugval, and we have mamish, we have strength, and we have strength, and we have capacity that we don't even realize. We have endless capacity. V'kasher yodea to roam erko, and we understand the greatness of our value. Shebiniata, that we're the sons of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'neinu gadol mi babayit hazeh mimeni. There's nobody greater than us. As eicha yaseh ragel la'azot, that how could we do this? How could we go forward and do what we were thinking about doing? Ulam azbezeh levad lo dai. This is not enough. Ki aluhu lipol l'geyut ra'ah, because chas v'shalom could lead to true gaiva, and that's the end of everything. Once you have gaiva, it's over. Game over. We also need to be that hyssop. We also need to be that reed. Ladat shiflut atzmo, to know our lowliness. Shelo yachshov shugvar kadosh v'tahor, to not think that I'm kadosh and tahor. I'm not. Yes, I'm a chelak alokam imal, and I have to strive. But I'm nothing. El yodea, top of the next column, et cheshbon nafsho, to know myself. Shemitzar atzmo einenu klum, that really I'm nothing. I'm everything and I'm nothing. I'm everything and I'm nothing, and always having that balance. Right, Pirkei Avos, the world was created for me, Vanochi Afar Ve'efer, I'm nothing but dust of the earth. Always living in that balance. Always living in that balance. That's real existence. That allows me to have the confidence to go forward and do everything that I need to do in Avodas Hashem with confidence. To say no to everything that I need to say no to and do it with confidence. I don't care the social implications. I don't care what they're going to say about me. I don't care what they're going to think about me. I don't care what's going to... I don't care. I'm going to do my Avodas Hashem. But never, chas v'shalom, to look down on the next person and think that I've actually accomplished something. Ever. It's a famous story. I love to quote this story because it's so emistic. It's so what we're striving for in life. Right? The story of David HaMelech. When David HaMelech had to get the Aron, I'm sure you've heard this story even for me before, let alone in other places. Right? When David HaMelech needed to get the Aron back to Yerushalayim, and the Aron wouldn't move. So what did he do? Remember what he did? David HaMelech went and he danced like a crazy person. He danced like a crazy person. And every time he danced, the Aron moved, and when he stopped, it would stop. And he danced it with every fiber of his being. He let himself totally loose. He danced like a crazy person. And he danced it all the way back. The Midrashim go on and on. He danced it back to Yerushalayim. And sitting in her high tower, literally, who looks down on him? Michal Bat Shaul. Sitting there in the palace, looks down on David HaMelech. And he comes back in and she looks at him and he says, "You degenerate, you nothing. You're a disgrace to the kingdom. You're a disgrace to kingship. To act like a fool, to act like a jester, to act like a commoner in front of the people. What are you doing?" And he looks at her and he says, "What am I doing? I'm serving God. I'm doing what God expects of me. I don't care what anybody else thinks." And HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished her very badly for what she said. And David HaMelech truly understood what it meant to be a Melech. To truly rule over his internal world. Like we all need to rule over our internal worlds. That I'm a Ben Melech. I'm a Bat Melech. I don't care. I will walk away from that bar. I will walk away from that non-kosher restaurant. I will walk away from that store that I used to love shopping at. But that clothing is not clothing that I'm wearing anymore. I will walk away from those people who are dragging me down. Never in a way where I shun them. I can shun the clothing. I can shun the bar. But never shun the people. I was just given the schus to hear from the Slonimer. For the Slonimer to take me under his wing. And to teach me that I'm a Bas Melech. And Lo Aleinu, they didn't get to hear that. And maybe, I hope one day they will. Because I know that if they will, they're going to be a better Bas Melech and a better Ben Melech than I am. But I have the schus of learning it. I have the schus of the Slonimer taking me under his wing. And so I'm going to live it no matter what the cost. Because that's who I am and that's what I will be. These two together bring about the true Avodas Hashem. First paragraph in the second column. V'ikdim ha-katuv eitz erez le'izof. And in the psukim it puts the erez first. It puts the cedar before the hissa. L'lamej b'chinat erez, eitz erez, yesh la hashpa'a yoter g'dola al adam. We always need to remember that of the two, which has a greater impact? Which has a greater impact on me? That's always going to be the erez, the cedar, gaiva. That is much easier to penetrate my internal world. It's so much easier to be a baal gaiva. It's so much easier that the gaiva overtake me. Mitoki di'at gadluto shel adam yudi ish yudi velama hu misugal lagi ulama hu misugal lagia. Sorry, v'dima k'tuv eitz erez leizov lamed shebichinat eitz erez yishbash ba'ayoter gdola al adam, that the eitz erez has an even greater impact on a Jew. I said it wrong before. Mitoki di'at gadluto shel ish yudi, when we recognize how great we are, velama hu misugal lagia, and what we're trying to accomplish, what we're here to do, shehu ben melech, that I'm the son and the daughter of the king, v'klum yesh shi'or v'gvul lima shebin melech echol misugal lagia, there's no limit to what I can accomplish as the son and the daughter of the king. If I start off by thinking of my lowliness, then we mamish can fall. If I start off by thinking how low I am, I'm done. If we in our own lowly lives think about our lowliness first, if we're in those situations and we think of our lowliness first, in all the examples that you're giving on the other side of the examples. Again, I think before I take those 3 steps forward, what, I'm really going to have so much kavana, I may as well just mumble the words, because I never have kavana anyway, and I'm nothing anyway. What, I'm going to do the chesed, what chesed am I really going to add here? Who am I really going to help? Who am I really going to impact? In all of the cases, and turning away from those negative things also. If I start with the shiftless, if I start with my lowliness, I'm going to fail. That will overwhelm me, and I will never succeed. That's why the cedar comes first. That the first thing I need to remember is I'm the son and the daughter of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Musar of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that I'm the child of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. La'kiret gadlut nishmato shu ben ha-melech. To recognize the greatness of my Shama that I'm the child of the king. Then I need, after that, immediately after that, so it doesn't go to a bad place, that guy doesn't go to a bad place, immediately to reinsert the shiftless, immediately to reinsert the anava, to reinsert the lowliness. That I'm nothing. Only because of my source, the Shema, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me as a gift, only because of that am I able to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that way, am I so great in that way. So we're at the hour, we're going to stop there. Bezrat Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us a bracha that we should be able to internalize these messages, the balance of Moshe and Aaron, the balance of the Erez and the Ezov, to remember, and we need this chizuk so much, dafka bizman hazeh, to remember that we're the ben and the bat of the melech, that we're the children of the king. Let that guide how we act and inspire us to do better. Not just the surah we talked a lot about of not doing the wrong, but inspire us to dafka do the right. That I'm the son of the king, to dafka go and daven, to go and lead, to go and teach, to go and learn, to go and do chesed, to go say tehillim, to fully bring that out. Because I remember in the ben about melech, the surah on the asay tov, to stay away from things that we don't deserve to be, we have no right to be connected to as a ben bat melech, and to connect the things we need to connect to. But to always do it with that essential sense of humility. That yes, I am the ben bat melech, but never in a way where it's going to knock me down in a way that's going to be destructive. HaKadosh Baruch Hu bless us that we should have both in equal balance, to live properly that way, and through being metaken those midos, and living properly, and living in full shlemut, we should bring shlemos to the world, and to Bezrat Hashem, to the binyan of the Beis HaMikdash, from here, Rabbi Aminu.